Chaitanya, thanks very much for the opportunity for the department to prevent the overcrowding and management around the population in the department. Myself, I'm Ravi Kamal, Deputy Commissioner, Security and the Awakening Trial Project Leader. Mr. Lakin Jekha, Mr. Director, Personal Corrections. Now, between the two of us, on a national level, we manage the overcrowding for the department. And I really hope that we are the appropriate people to respond to the overcrowding problems, of which we are all concerned about. You have indicated that the National Commissioner and the City Management team are involved in the parole board making something, and unfortunately, that's the reason why they are not present here. So that's the only project that for the commissioner that I have to change there for the commission. And we'll dive into the presentation here. We will present the overcrowding in terms of the management of the population, what we are doing in the department to manage overcrowding. And we have a purpose that we will quickly look at overview the facility issues. The drivers of the inmate population, the level correctional center, and then action taken to down manage the overcrowding. We will report on the successes and challenges facing the problem of overcrowding, and then also address some of the key solutions that if we are successful with it, we will in fact manage properly the overcrowding issues in the department. Now, the purpose is to share information regarding the management of the inmate population in control center with the portfolio committee, the other members here today. In terms of an overview, the average inmate population for the past 5 years, number of ATDs decreased in this period from 50,417 to 47,000, where we are currently. The average number of status offenders decreased also over the year from 136,080 to 115,000 currently, and the total inmate population decreased from 186 to 163,000, we will later on talk about that decreased state, there was a process of amnesty. And that's why that figure shows the 22,000, but it will also appear later on in the presentation. The average population rate decreased in terms of percentages by 21%. We are currently at 142.58% in terms of our population. And the capacity increased over this period from 112,000 to 140,836. That's broadly an overview. Now, as at the 30th of June, the information of the 30th of June in the system was certified as correct from our data bank. And later on, because of late, some of the institutions not connected to the system, that's why we work with the 30th of June certified information. Now, 30 June, a total village population of 163,108, consisting of the following families were accommodated in 237 active correctional centers with the approved accommodation of 114,822 inmates. Centers of offenders total 160,087, of which 3,2549, that including children under the age of 18 years, 130,000 males, including 868 children, 880 children under the 18 years age. Centers of offenders represented 71.17% of the total inmate population. Overview in terms of the awaiting trial detainees. We averaged 47,021, of which 994 females, including 19 children under 18 years old, 46,027 males, including 670 children under 18 years old. And the ATGs represented 28.82% of the total inmate population, of which the population rate is 142%. In terms of our facilities, we have 239 facilities, but two of them are temporarily closed. There's one facility in Mount Ayler in the Eastern Cape and Swellen Down in the Western Cape. That's the two that are temporarily closed. Creation of additional capacity. Since 2004-05 financial year, the capacity in correctional centers increased only with 684. Additional capacity for a total of 3,936 inmates will be created. That's now before the end of next year. That's Kimberley with 3,000, Van Rijnsdorp being upgraded now, 328, Warenkoppelveld also in process of upgrading, 282 capacity there, and Brandtley Correctional Center with an accommodation gain of 346. Now the accommodation of Kimberley should therefore result in plus minus 4.75% decrease in the average national occupation rate from 142.58% to 137.83%. Now in terms of the strategic plan target of the department, we have a target of 140% that we want to achieve in this financial year as a measurable objective. Now, we are looking at drivers of overcrowding. Firstly, the awaiting trial detainee population. We found that at the metropolitan area, that's now the East London area, Lusaka, Portsmouth, Durban, Johannesburg, Pretoria, there are serving multitude of courts around these areas. And the impact thereof is that all these centers are highly overcrowded. And these are the examples: Portsmouth, average 223%, Johannesburg 235%, Lusaka 206%, East London 201%, and Pretoria 194% in Durban. Now, we are also looking at the numbers that we release and admit in these particular centers. Now, during the week of 1st to 5th June only of this year, a total number of 3,696 were released from the three centers, Durban, Johannesburg, Portsmouth, but we have also estimated 4,098. So there's one came from the other one. But we also found that there's large numbers of these awaiting trial detainees going to court every day, but also the same number coming back in the afternoon. Now, I've also made a note here that during the financial year 2008-09, 2,999, 123 were released in that, over that year period from the Echo Center. But 291,740 were admitted, resulting in an insignificant impostor, because the numbers that flow in also flow out. Other drivers of overcrowding, we found that our courts are in different ministerial districts and police are functioning in these districts. And it is seldom possible, therefore, to transfer overflows from centers, in these admission centers, to other correctional centers. For example, from Johannesburg to Krugersdorp. They have to attend this court. The outflow is also limited due to the tall file of the awaiting trial sometimes. Majority has no bail option. We will look at statistics around that. Majority are accused of aggressive and sexual crime. And there's also sometimes a lack of support systems to relieve some of our waiting time detainees. And we have to admit that there's also blockages within the criminal justice system, which also impact negatively on the detention cycles of our waiting time detainees. Now, we are using the Criminal Procedure Act section, but that's also limited to release the waiting time of offenders. In terms of sentence offenders, since the mandatory minimum sentence in 1997, we found that there is an increase in the numbers and percentages of offenders sentenced to very long periods of imprisonment, implying that there is a very small turnover in terms of their parole release. Now, since 1996, the percentage of offenders serving sentences longer than 10 to 15 years and 15 to 20 years. And longer than 20 years, about 20 years, which includes then life imprisonment, increased from 11%, 8%, and 14% respectively, while the percentage of in all shorter sentence categories decreased. And there's a continuous incarceration of offenders serving very short sentences, that's now less than 6 months, and that impacts negatively on time available or to present rehabilitation programs. Other drivers of overcrowding is the reluctance by courts to optimally utilize diversion options such as correctional supervision as a sentence option. There's a changing profile of sentence offenders. There's limited capacity by correctional supervision and parole board in terms of placement on parole due to the profile of these offenders. Now, different population levels. As I said earlier, today we have 239 centers, of which 237 are active. The occupation level of 50 of these centers were less than 100%, only 50. The occupation level of 101 centers between 100% and 149%. The occupation levels of 47 centers were between 150 and 174. The occupation level of 21 centers were between 175% and 200%, and 19 of the centers were populated more than 200%, and we are giving a list of these centers that currently cover 200%. Population levels. We are saying that we are still historically 12 of the 19 correctional centers were also overcrowded by more than 200% on 30 June 2008, and 10 of these 19 correctional centers were also overcrowded by more than 200% on 30 June 2007. Now, third region is the population level, which then show us that in Gauteng, 176%, followed by the Eastern Cape with 156.28%, and then Western Cape was 147 average, eventually to 142.05%. This population levels nationally, we are giving female statistics there and male for the different quarters, starting from the 2008-09 and 2009-10 financial year. First quarter, when we look at female and male, and we look at the last quarter now, end of June, is more or less average another 11,000 for over 5 quarters, starting from the first quarter of last year until the first quarter of this year. Population levels say nationally, we are giving the different age groups, that age less than 18 years, between 18 and 21, and then the adult category as well. The next slide shows us the average number of sentence offenders per crime category. And the significance of this slide, it shows the aggressive nature of the majority of the inmate population. And if we then combine the aggressive with the sexual, we found that more or less 71% of the population is either aggressive, sexual, and then the rest is economic, narcotic, and other crimes. Security classification of these offenders, we are giving the maximum, medium, and minimum category, and the maximum category is 27% followed by medium, with 57% and less serious classification is only 7% of the population. Population level, specific sentence group, this slide shows then eventually what happened now with the category more than 15 to 20 years, which ended up also with life sentences as well as the 50 years plus, if there's any. We are saying from 15 to 20, there's 12,485 in the last quarter of 2009. And we start the first quarter also with more or less 12,563. And more than 20 years, 10,456 in the last quarter of the financial year. And we ended the first quarter of this year with 10,551. So the averages are more or less the same. The next slide shows us the average number of ATDs per gender, that's male and female. And I think I just want to show that, that the average is more or less also the same in terms of the female as well as the male. It fluctuates from very small percentages. ATDs per age group, the less than 18 years, 72, 18 to 21, 8,000. We refer to that as the juvenile group and then the adult 39,756. The average has active bail cases. And previously we have explained that the majority of the awaiting time population do not have the option of the bail. That's the percentage of more or less 78.5%. No option of bail. And then the rest of that with the bail, the aggressive nature, sexual offenses, address confirmation are also problematic to use the criminal procedure exceptions to release these awaiting trial detainees. Actions taken to down manage the overcrowding. We have national and frameworks in place and plans to manage the overcrowding within the department. We have the National Overcrowding Task Team, and this team meets bi-monthly. Every second month there is a meeting to look at the overcrowding patterns within the department. Same happens within the regions to look at the regional responsibilities as well as the different management areas. We are also monitoring what happens in the different regions. There is a tool for waiting time detainees developed, so we look at the application of the Criminal Procedure Act, the different sections, Section 63A and Section 63.1, and what happened then to the awaiting time detainees when we apply for their release to the different courts. Overcrowding is also identified as one of the risk areas within the department, that's risk number two, and that's also been monitored bi-monthly by the Risk Management Committee within the department, looking also at other risks. The downgrade of overcrowding could also be performance areas in the work plans of different officials that's key to their responsibilities. And we are also looking at establishing remand detention facilities within the remand management program that the department is responsible for. So this is the reported. Chairperson, I've explained that we have used the different sections of the criminal procedure Act 63A as well as 63.1. 63A is where a network operational center, when this center is overcrowded and is inhumane in terms of incarcerating offenders, the head of the center can bring an application to a court to release a certain number of offenders. There is also now a bail protocol signed by the ministers during June, and all the ministries were in the criminal justice processes, JCPS, Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster. All these ministers have signed the bail protocol to implement Section 68, and DC has also implemented it, and we are monitoring that. And then an individual offender can also bring an application to court to amend his bail conditions. That section 63.1, or his attorney can do that. And these then the applications that we brought to the different courts, where the different subsections are. Now the status over the first quarter of this year, we have brought 3,222 applications, 63.8, and 2,984 applications in terms of section 63.1. And 812 ATDs were released in terms of section 62, 2,033 ATDs were released in terms of section 62F, children were released and placed under correctional supervision in terms of section 71, 901 children released on warning in terms of section 72, and 593 plea bargaining cases were referred also to the court in terms of section 105A, and plea bargaining cases were also concluded 335. In terms of subjective sentence offenders, 931 offenders sentenced directly to correctional supervision, 1,250 offenders placed under correctional supervision after serving 6 of their sentences, and 2,034 fine cases placed under correctional supervision. 374 offenders sentenced directly to correctional supervision. 8,724 offenders were placed on parole, and then they go to this process where the different centers or regions can transfer sentence offenders from one center to the other just to balance the numbers of the different correctional centers. The challenges facing the system, waiting trial detainees. More than 75% don't have bail, we have already alluded to that, and therefore there's no diversion options that the department can apply. The majority of awaiting trial detainees with bail are accused of aggressive and sexual crimes, that the slide showed to us, and that excludes them from possible diversion in terms of the section that I referred to, 63A of the Criminal Procedure Act. And then there is also a lack of support systems where the families don't have monitorable addresses that we, our community correction people can go there and monitor these awaiting trial detainees. There are factors that impact negatively on the efforts to release awaiting trial detainees. In terms of the sentence population, 24 offenders exceeded their approved parole date due to lack of support systems, so they have to stay inside the facility. 6,672 offenders were fined as alternative persons, they are still in custody because they couldn't afford to pay their fines. 1,440 offenders who completed the 6 of their sentences, they are still in custody as of 30 June 2009 because of these reasons of support systems not in place. Now, three solutions that the department thinks will assist in addressing the overcrowding problems. That's the implementation of the integrated National Criminal Justice Information System to calculate more informed strategies, plans, and decision making. And I think the committee is quite aware of the process of the review of the criminal justice system. And one of the areas that's key to that is an information system across the different departments. The another key solution is that the partnerships that we have to build in line with corrections as a societal responsibility. authority, both with civil society and inter-government departments within the justice crime prevention and security cluster and social cluster, that in terms of the addresses and support systems, community-based organizations that can assist with these processes. We need to ensure also this progress with the correctional service capital works program for upgrading correctional facilities and to build new correctional centers that both cost effective and rehabilitation orientated. We need also to encourage debate in South Africa about reasons for incarceration at the sentence and encouraging an approach to appropriate sentences that is focused on facilitating the rehabilitation as an alternative. We need to enhance correctional supervision so that it can be better utilized as an appropriate sentence for less serious crimes in the system. We need to manage the levels of sentence offenders through improving the appropriate use of conversion of sentences to correctional supervision. Releases on parole, transfer between correctional sentences to establish some degree of evenness of overcrowding. We need to manage the levels of waiting time training so that integrated justice system case management tasks and the trust in that being led by justice for case flow management. There's an inter-sector committee on child justice that's also managing children issues, justice also in this project. So these projects need to adjust to alleviate overcrowding. Utilizing specific correctional centers exclusively for the recommendation of awaiting child detainment, we are building a response and we refer to the 11 that in process of upgrading that we eventually can end up with centers where we only have awaiting child detainment in that particular center. Chairperson, I want to conclude by saying that the awaiting child detainments are accommodated in 10 out of the 19 overcrowded correctional centers, so that population rate of more than 200%. And we also found that 5 of these 19 facilities also accommodate sentenced macro offenders. And the most of the negative impact on the inmate population is caused mostly by the waiting time things because of we don't have really control over the outflow and inflow. But we are appreciating the process of the criminal justice review that will assist with the process of the waiting time management. And we also need to continuously focus on our partnerships to manage the awaiting time detainment population. National, local, regional, state-based structures. And these days, we are part of these structures and we need to focus and do some more work with the awaiting time population. The current level of the population of 142% is so below the 164% during the 2004-2005 period. And I'm sure if we can continue with interventions currently that we have embarked on and showing the successes of what we are doing, we still need to strengthen all these relationships to down manage the population. It's still not satisfactory to the inmate population. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the department. I don't think there's questions or clarity. Let's just get stuck into the debate and the discussions around this.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this is a worrying factor of overcrowding. Therefore, going through the document, I just want the department to listen very carefully. Because we are 14-15 years down the line here. The Freedom Charter tells us that the purpose of detention is supposed to be to create conducive conditions for re-education of such offenders. And assumption should never be the reason behind the incarceration of detainees. in building of like a freedom charter phase, the RDP document provides that correctional centers should make resources available for the human accommodation of inmates. The Constitution further provides that everyone who is arrested for allegedly committing an offense has the right to conditions of detention that are consistent with human dignity, including the provision at state expense of adequate accommodation, nutrition, etc. Security. The manner of accommodation those who are arrested should be in keeping with the objective to rehabilitate the offenders and with administering human treatment of them as the Constitution provides for. There could be many treatments to them as the Constitution provides for. Human treatment, some subjective, others objective. It is important to note that the IDP document and the Constitution foreground accommodation as a necessity and an inalienable right to be detained. What is more telling is that both documents are not general about the type of accommodation they refer to. In other words, the IDP document describes the accommodation as a human one and the Constitution as an adequate one. We are talking here about the human quality referred to in the IDP suggests a number of requirements. Example hygiene, space, protection from COVID, safety and security, etc. The adequate accommodation could only refer to space. But it should be remembered that RDP document page 125, paragraph 583, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996, chapter 2, S 35, 2E, that the Constitution lists it is as an illustration of a condition which is commensurate with human dignity. We are talking 15 years down the line here. It is therefore an incontrovertible truth that the accommodation of detainees should meet certain standards, which is not the case now. For it to be considered constitutional, and that according to our ANC policy, treatment of inmates should ensure re-education and not to make deterrence underpinned by a substitute desire to avenge victims. The main question too is whether detainees are by virtue of losing their freedom of movement and being confined to a defined space, not a vulnerable group. If there are vulnerable groups, what causes society to be negligent or brutal of them? Is it because our society holds a current belief that rehabilitation is a marriage because people offend due to their nature? And as a letter cannot change its thought.
Sorry. My fear is, I'm not sure if you make such a long thing to this guy.
I see in the document, because I did receive this document beforehand.
That's fine.
I'm still going to ask the questions, but I want them to understand the where from did we take this. If it is okay to
tell. Yeah, as long as you don't take the time for other people to respond, then you have to manage the time.
Thank you.
Hello, upstairs, welcome to Parliament. a very critical question around the overcrowding of the facility. And part of the solution is yourself upstairs. So I think it is your welcome, because unless you as society participate in the solution, we always going to have overcrowding in our country. So welcome, and I hope you learn something and you can input later on in terms of what you think the solution should be for overcrowding. Continue that.
The objective conditions imposed in the detainees are overcome are such that the value of objects like beds, blankets, utensils, etc. is raised. The personal questions I want to ask the department considering the time, the busy time is a job that is against us. Given the legal obligation to apply discriminatory treatment between awaiting trial detainees and sentenced offenders, such that awaiting trial detainees don't undergo a form of correctional center experience. What is the average time spent by awaiting trial detainees in correctional centers?
You can pose about three questions. Those three questions, if you have, then we will check what happens to the next one so that when they respond.
With my plea that I want to.
Absolutely.
The high level of overcrowding in nerve centers in metropolitan areas is attributed to the fact that such centers serve a multitude of costs. Given that the Constitution prescribes that detainees should be treated in a manner enhancing their human dignity, why does the Department allow logistics and not constitutional provisions to regulate their inmate accommodation patterns? Thank you, sir.
So, thank you, Chair, and thank you for the Department for the information. There are some specific issues that I'd like to highlight from the report. The first concerning the statement that was made about the continuous use of incarceration of offenders serving very short sentences in 6 months. Could the Department tell us how many of such offenders were serving sentences of 6 months? Maybe they'd like to just comment, you know, there's no rehabilitation, or we were told there's no rehabilitation program available for people serving sentences of less than 2 years. Is there any purpose at all in a sentence of less than 6 months? Because it seems to me that they simply contribute to overcrowding and get no rehabilitative benefit from the sentence. Secondly, the department said that the profile of offenders limits the power to release on parole. Now, I'm just looking at the annual report that came out this morning, and it says here that 12,296 cases where the minimum detention date has expired, but where there's no recommendation for parole, has been received from the CNC to the parole board. In other words, this is a problem that doesn't lie with the parole board, doesn't lie with the offender, lies with the department. Why are there 12,296 cases that are sitting with the CNC where the people have already served the minimum period, and what's being done to address that bottleneck? Then you make the statement that there is a reluctance by the court to optimally utilize diversion options on the one hand, and on the second hand, we say that we should have a debate and enhanced correctional supervision so that it can be better utilized. What is the holdup? Why isn't correctional supervision used more widely as an alternative sentence? Is it something that's within the power of the department? If you have more effective tagging devices, is community correction more effective? Would more courts use correctional supervision as an alternative thing? Thanks.
second principle of NSS is that they are human cannot due to the lack of support system. If they can just clarify to me who is supposed to support them. And my second question is going to how they say the AFC system is going to take care. How long is that going to happen? And the time frame for the awaiting trial? Because it's written management level of the trial detainee through integrated justice system case. I just want to find out how time frame for that. Thank you.
The honourable member, the raised the first set of questions. It's my first experience with the portfolio, so I don't have the name, so I cannot refer to the first speaker.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You can do that when they speak
later,
they will also introduce themselves so that you know they are.
We'll
come
back
to the second answer.
Thank you, sir. The RCP and constitutional issues around the overcrowding and the 15-minute test were down the line and still face overcrowding in correctional centers. Say over the 15 years, we have adopted within the department the rehabilitation as core to the functions of the department. Previously, we worked with security as core to the functions of the department. So programs and initiatives that the department has introduced face currently on how to rehabilitate. And having said that, we also, as a department, but all other government departments, sit with the scarce skills reality, that we don't have sufficient rehabilitate social workers or psychologists for the different categories of offenders. So that's a fact. But nevertheless, as a department, we describe also to the minimum rules, international rules, for the incarceration of offenders. That's in terms of the detention, it's in terms of the accommodation, it's in terms of what they should be given as minimum. So South Africa, it is one of the countries that understand the international rules, minimum rules, standard minimum rules for the incarceration of offenders. So we are there in terms of policy development, and since 2005, Parliament has approved the White Paper on corrections, again, as a policy document to enforce what the Department has to do. So since 2005, we are implementing the White Paper on within the Department of Correctional Services. Now, the average, what I can give to the honourable member, the average detainee period, referred to as entire detainee, if we take the population, ICD population, that's 47,000 currently average, 1,600 of them are about 2 years and longer within the system. Longer, 1,200. So the rest of them, that 176 of, nearly 46,000 of them serve seriously in 2 years. And we have broken up the 1,600, and we found that as of the beginning of this month, six of these awaiting time detainee offenders, they are in the category longer than 7 years within the system. And we found that around 40 of these awaiting time detainees, they serve seriously 5 to 7 years. 40 of them 5 to 7 years. So that's an indication of the detention period that they are currently within the system. Now we take this statistics to the criminal justice structures so that they can work, NPA justice can work on cycle times of these awaiting trial detainees. So that's in terms of the average that's currently being detained out of the 47,000. That's the category longer than 2 years. Now, We found also that in the nurse cases, the multitude of courts, the pretoria and all these centers are serving what is sometimes difficult in this sense is that we say receive and we admit these offenders by certain orders of the force. And then what we eventually do, we are engaging this month in basically structures to discuss the in and outflow of the way things are retaining. So in terms of regulating the numbers within these days, we serve on the structures, bring it to the justice system, and the process currently of the review is to look at measurable objectives in terms of reduction levels. We work with 5% reduction level, we work with detention period, and the Department of Justice leading this project with the minister having now set measurable objectives for the system. And these objectives will then be presented at the different structures. These measurable objectives have been developed last month, so it will now start flowing through the different structures of government to report on that. But there will be a report from the Minister of Justice to Parliament to show the indicators. And I don't think that I can give more information now before the Minister presents it to Cabinet, the report of the Criminal Justice Review. Then, Mr. Chair, the category less than 6 months, how many of them in the reputation program for less than 2 years? Mr. Nchetu will give us the average for the shorter period incarcerated. We haven't broken down to 6 months. Yes, we haven't broken it down in the steps like it, but you can get it just working with the data on the centers to period. We will give that data to some of you, sir. The relief of offenders and the profile of the 2000 plus, where we follow the expiry of the data in the CMC, not finalizing applications. The department experienced a period where we have introduced the CMC system within the department. And that CMC system was not fully functional for a period. And we referred to a backlog in terms of cases that were supposed to be finalized by the CMC. And the department is now busy with the process of filling funds from these vacancies that existed within the department. Those vacancies were raised the backlog. So the department, having a restructured department, couldn't fill all the vacancies with available funding, and therefore had a backlog of cases to be presented to the different parole boards. Do you have the number of cases? But there's still vacancies. Yes. So there's still vacancies here present within the CMCs, causing that backlog of cases that could not be presented timely to the different parole boards. In terms of the reluctance of courts to make use of the alternative, we have a problem of people leaving the system, absconding through the system. That's one of the reasons. And we sit with a large number of cases where the parole is absconded and it's difficult to trace them because of the addresses that they left behind. So that's one of the reasons. The other alternative that you referred to is the tagging and electronic monitoring. This is currently under investigation by the department to make use of electronic monitoring so that you can apply that even in rural areas. And the devices that we are looking at is the satellite kind of system so that you don't discriminate against people in rural areas where you can't collect with telephone lines. That was the problem with the first system that was introduced in the department. This is now being investigated to look for a satellite system and to make use of it, introduce it so that court can use it more often. Because we don't have a system currently in place for electronic monitoring. data center may be the 24x who exceed the data holding. Supported foot that we are referring to is say the CPH family that's receiving the person who's being released back into the family to take care of this particular purpose. Sometimes there's no address, and sometimes the family totally refuse to take the person back into that particular family. So they don't want him back. And therefore, we refer to that where the family refuse to take him back as the lack of support systems, and there's no other alternative that we could use to release this particular person. So, and now, the criminal justice system in the review process, the question about how long will it take, the objective, as I said, measurable objective has been developed last month, it's documented, it will be tabled to Parliament and Cabinet for approval, and immediately that will be measured after Cabinet has given approval for it. So that's how far I can give the information. I know about the development of the Cabinet memo, where the measurable objective that the Minister will table to Cabinet. So immediately after that, it will be then distributed and we have to honor and inform on that.
So, I think with regards to the question that was raised in terms of the offender who was sentenced from 0 to 6 months, as we have statistically pointing out, the total as of the 30th of June 2009. 4,618. I can also break it down to make it easier for the chapter 6. Females out of this number, which was 257. The males, 4,361. Then on the whole, it gives us 4,218. And then between 6 to 12 months, obviously, I can give as well that those does not add just after that. We've got a total of about 4,244 as of the end of June 2009. And breaking it down also, we've got 139 females, and then males is 4,105. Thank you.
Okay, we will ask for a second round of questions. So this last statistic you've given me, given us, I think you need to give us more. I'm sitting trying to understand why would you send somebody to 6 months prison? What is it that he would have done that cannot be referred to the necros of this world as to some of this world? We're talking here about almost 10,000 people that are sitting there for less than 12 months. Surely they couldn't have been violent crimes, couldn't have been sexual assault. Maybe in your response later on, if you can tell us what is the nature of the crime that these 10,000 are guilty of. Because these are sentenced people. These are sentenced people. Could indicate that to us. So let's take a second round of questions. I noted Mr. Ndaka is the first. Salisa is the number 2, Mr. Self is the number 3, and then Mr. Arthur is the number 4, and Ramyanda is the number 5.
To me, there has been a deep lack of support system is not clear. I don't know what it is exactly, whether we are referring to the area or to the department. I just want a clarity. For an example, under challenge age 28, lack of support system and monitorable assessment which impact negatively on efforts to divert ACDs from correctional standards. And also number 24 offenders exceeded they are put parole due to a lack of support system. So it's not clear. Number last, 1 to 3, point number 3 under 329. 1,440 offenders who completed half of the ascendancy still in custody on 30th June 2009. Where were they supposed to be? This is not a really clear perception. Like, in Patreon 7, 8,724 offenders placed on parole, and then what next? Are they already paroled, or they are still on social? So I just need a clarification. Also, the lack of support system would like a list of specifications. List the lack of support for us so that we can understand it, because it's not clear. I hear the families do not want to take these people as a person back, but it can't be the only lack of support system. That's what it's for. Yeah. And according to the Department of National Action Plans and Framework related to both our Crime Detainees and Sentenced Offenders were developed and implemented. Has experience in implementation resulted in any progress? If so, how much? We want certification. It's not a vague explanation. What are the lessons learned during the implementation process? It is mentioned that courts demonstrate less eagerness for alternative sentencing, perhaps attributable to the risk that might be posed by such an undertaking. What we want to know here is that 931 offenders were sentenced directly to correctional supervision. What from experience that the department observed to be the risk imposed by sentencing offenders to correctional supervision? What is not clear for us, Captain, out of the successes? These successes, we want also a certification. The successes are not so clear as if I look at page, where are these successes? The successes are not such clear as 86 children placed under correctional supervision in section 71. It's not clear that is this habitual children, is it a habit, is it habitual children, or is it less, is it warning cases? Why are they still in corrections if they were warned? That's a warning. Why were they still in correctional supervision? Can the department give us time to on this? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask and follow up, because I am not clear in my own head about the requirement I got. Is the department telling us that there's 12,296 cases, according to the annual report, of people who serve their minimum sentence and are not being released simply because the department's got a personnel shortage? I mean, is that what we're talking about? Because, I mean, that's a very serious state of affairs, because you're actually contributing to the overcrowding where you could have managed your way out. And if that is the case, then we would, I think, want to know far more explicitly what steps are being taken to fill those vacancies and put it on some sort of a timeline, because it's absolutely unacceptable in my view. Secondly, Mr. De Monster kindly said that the department were investigating the use of tracking devices. Well, Mr. Mosseki came to the committee over a year ago and said, guess what? The department's investigating the use of tracking devices. What happened 13 months on, and what progress is there? Because if there's a reluctance to use correctional supervision as an alternative sentence, then, as Mr. De Monster said, one of the reasons there is that reluctance is because people have scones. Well, people won't have scones if they've got a tracking device. We're now 13 months on. What's happening? The third question I'd just like to ask is around the building program. And I see that according to the presentation today, that the Kimberley facility will now be finished, according to this, at the end of October, if I remember correctly. Now, about 3 weeks ago, we had another presentation from the department saying that it was finished on the 1st of September. And other people heard that it's going to be finished at the end of the year. It should have been finished 18 months ago. The point I'm trying to make about all these things, and they're all interrelated, is I don't sense any sense of urgency by the department to do things that it has control over. Not the rest of the criminal justice cluster, it's the department to deal with these issues. Because I've now been on this committee for 15 years, and every year we have the same story and frankly the same excuse. So forgive my irritation, but you know, it's time that we now start seeing some action.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I want to thank the gentleman for the presentation, and perhaps just add that I do have empathy for them for the difficult situation in which they are. But Chair, you know, we say the worst of them say the best of them. So as commissioners, we have to answer. Jefferson, in response to one of the questions here, you stated that you do not have sufficient social workers, psychologists, probably probation officers, etc., etc. The question is, what is your retention strategy to keep such people first? Secondly, what strategy have you got in place to get the number that are required for the purpose? Whether it is budgetary, whether it is the fact that we don't get the people are not willing to work, whether it is the question of salary scale, just please give us a sense of what your difficulties and problems are. And then, Chair, when one looks at the presentation, it is quite clear. It's stated here that 28.82% of the total inmate population are ATDs. Apart from the few things that you have mentioned here, and apart from the jacking up of the criminal justice system, so that things don't get constipated there and that things flow free, are there any other ideas, are there any other plans that you can put on the table that needs to be done to see that that flow is reasonably constant and that it goes through the system with the least possible delay? Because if you take off approximately 48,000 inmates from 163,000, which is your current population from your presentation, then of course you come reasonably close to the capacity that you have. And it can sort of, to a large extent, you cannot completely wipe it out, but make a dent on your overpopulation of 142%. If you could give us a sense of those things. Thank you, Chair.
Ramyanda?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want them to explain to me here if you think that the blockage within JFC impacts the medical DMA on detention. Are they not meeting with the JAC as a cluster to sit down and correct some other measures as a cluster so that, as they are saying, it is a blockade on their side? When they are sitting with the cluster, what do they discuss? Thank you, Chairperson. As Rich said here, we are talking of the overcrowding. Why are we talking of this overcrowding? Whereas the testing, they made mention of having a waiting period, they need from 5 to 7 years. 5 to 7 years. What is the cause of this? What is the department doing about that? This is very, very worrying, very, very worrying. Because we're not supposed to be still talking about the overcrowding. If you didn't say or you have been mentioned these 5 to 7, a very, very long time awaiting time to stay in. No. Thank you. Thank you. Denying the key solution. I want to know the department to tell us that has the process of the solution we started to be implemented yet. Because I also want to know, I see that it's implementing an integrated national CJS information system. Is it a system or is there an intergovernmental relation meeting taking place between the relevant departments addressing overcrowding? Give us the indication what successes or what is the progress made out of the intergovernmental relation, because here it's not a question of CJS only. Here we are talking about social services, we are talking about UNICOs, we are talking about NGOs, we are talking about many systems to be included, civil society to be included in CJS. But it's key solutions. It's 15 years down the line. We are talking about key solutions. But there is no indication what of these solutions were implemented successfully, that we are talking about people out of correction, not being in the overcrowding system, still seated in the overcrowding system. What I don't understand also, Chairperson, is the question of the addresses. Where does these people come from? If now a person is in correction, he hasn't got an address. Where does this person come from if there is no address? Rural areas have got addresses. There are addresses in the rural areas, which means the system fails the nation if the system hasn't got to trace an address of someone who is in correction. That is not, there is no excuse for that, because every person comes from somewhere. You can't be coming from nowhere. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, thanks. The support system that we refer to and monitor the operators, before we release any offender, the list of offenders that will be released is only communicated to community directors, the monitoring officials. Now the monitoring officials then go to the address that the particular offender is giving to them and go to that address to see if there's a family and friends and the conditions around that area. Will there be any support in terms of food and clothing and accommodation? And they are normally writing a report around that. So when we refer to offenders not having a support system or monitorable operator, that's the concern by way of the report. So to be specific then, we don't have the specific information now per offender, but that is normally on the file available, that the monitoring official went there and what was found. So that information must be on the file available. The offenders then who exceeded their parole rate, having served them their sentences, and the reasons not for placing them then on parole, These were the reasons that were given on the file, and that, as I said, is part of statistics, that information is available. And we can then provide the reasons of these from a file to the committee members to qualify what is being managed by support and monitor for that sector. The lessons learned out of the strategies that we have developed and the progress in terms of the implementation around that, the different courts that function around the country, what we do in terms of our monthly meetings with the database structures, we also invite the legislators to these settings. Now, what the legislators normally do, they set a day or so aside to look into this matter. Now, what the department normally do, they, at the different courts, social workers available that assist in the different courts in terms of writing a report before an offender can be released with the same option of correctional supervision. Now, the successes that we have measured here, the successes that we are indicating in terms of the presentation, on page 28, offenders are directly sentenced to correctional supervision, and offenders placed under correctional supervision after serving their period. Those people are out of the system. They are no longer in the system. And then when we refer to the statistics here, it's people that are moving out. But I think we have also indicated that the average between the releases of offenders and the number that we are measuring is very small. In fact, you average normally the same number over this period. And I think the presentation shows over the past five years, we didn't have an increase of capacity by building up or upgrading facilities. We have a small number of upgraded facilities of 600. So if we look at the percentage staying on stable over 5 years, with a 600 increase in capacity, then really the police continue arresting people, the force continue sentencing people. There is something that we are doing right to balance the figures. In terms of the processes that we follow with the terror and the correctional supervision, as well as the alternatives with the awaiting time detainees. Now, the children that we are releasing, in terms of the different section 71 and 72 of the Criminal Procedure Act, on page 27, these children are also out of the system. That 86 girls under correctional supervision in terms of section 71, they are out of the system. 191 children released from warning cases were drawn in terms of section 72, they are also out of the system. What we found is that when we look at categorizing the crime categories, in terms of aggressive, sexual, economic, narcotics, and the others, you found that also within the children. Children commit the same crime type of crime as adults. And you find it in the same categories. If we could break it up, you will find the six main categories are more or less the same as the adults. So, but there are also minor crimes that the children like theft or small minor things. And in that category of children, every second week after a child has been admitted to a facility, that they have to go back to the court with an application to consider, should this child be staying in a correctional facility or should he be released? So there are children with this habit, but every second week, correctional service have to go back to the court to reconsider, should this child. And you also find the cycle of children is also the average stay also more or less the same. We are currently averaging 700. Previously, last year, we were more than 1,200 of children. But working with the database like the social class and the others, they are focusing on moving children out of correctional facilities into secure care facilities. And that's the process that we embark on every month at the meeting, to look at spaces within the secure care facilities to move these children out to. The CMC and the case backlog question, I think Mr. Mseko will talk about more on the CMC, the introduction of that, and on why we found that backlog, because he dealt with that CMC directly. The tracking devices, there's two systems of tracking devices that we work with. The first one is inmate tracking, that was piloted in Durban Bedford, and then also project in Johannesburg. Now, the tracking was meant to identify a waiting child detainee, his movement within a correctional center, to ensure that this person can appear in court at the right time. Now, we work with CITA as the governing body for government departments to implement and award tenders around the inmate tracking contract. Now, the inmate tracking tender that was finalized and completed last year, and that has been cancelled by CITA this year in May because of reasons that there was, I'm not sure if it's corruption or whatever, in the process of awarding the tender. So we have to start from fresh to developing the tender for the inmate tracking that was piloted in Johannesburg and Durban Bedford. The electronic monitoring to be utilized with economic corrections, we have piloted it years ago. And we were then advised now in this year not to use telephone lines as collections, because you can't utilize this in rural areas. And this is the process where we have been, it was presented to the department to use satellite systems for this project. That has not been implemented. That's still under investigation. The electronic monitoring part of implementing for community correction purposes. So these are the two systems, just to make the difference there clear to the committee. Now, the Kimberley and the opening of Kimberley and the different dates in the department is not serious with the opening of these facilities. The Kimberley project was supposed to, that was the report that the minister was given, was that Kimberley was beginning in September, for opening of that. I am aware of that report that was presented to the minister. And the date of October was now given because of the security network and the security contractor responsible for the security system. He could not complete the system in time. And you can't open Kimberley without having a security system in place. The security system is connected to electronic doors with CCTV cameras and working from a control room. And the contract is managed by the Department of Public Works. While this is sitting with the budget, and we have the executive responsibility to see to it that the contractor perform in time. We are depending, there's an interdependence between us and public works, taking the responsibility as custodians of government properties to complete the project. And I'm not saying there's nothing that we can do. I'm aware that the minister even requested any meeting with the counterpart of public works to discuss the speeding up of this project to be finalized. And on the ministerial level, there was a discussion to see whether this project is not enough. And that happened, I think, in June, July, to speed up the finalization of that. So if the meetings has indeed materialized, I'm not aware, but I know from the instruction of the minister to have a meeting with the counterpart in public works. So there is some seriousness from the minister, because this was brought to the attention of the minister, the delay of that project. The problem of retention and staffing and insufficient staff, the social worker, the psychologist within the department, the DPSA, Department of Public Health and Administration, work with the different departments, even DCS, on an extension strategy for scarce skills across departments. And the OSD, Occupation Specific Dispensation, is one of the tools the government is now addressing also in the UCS to retake scarce skills across the part, so that you don't find the social worker leaving from one department to another because of a better package in terms of salary. And this has now been introduced in correctional services. Now in last month it has been concluded for implementation. So that's the strategy, and we are really hopeful that this OSD will assist all the departments, also the departments, to retain these scarce skills. The alternative to the awaiting trial detaining, the 28.8% that we have incarcerated, and the average is around that. We found that even though we are implementing the Criminal Procedure Act sections, the 63.1 and the 63.8, where 63.1 where the offender can apply to the court to amend his conditions, or the head of the prison can apply to release this person, we still find that the inflow and outflow of the totals is more or less the same. It's 20,000 per month flowing in and out of the system. So that is really a big problem, the crime around the country and the control that we have as government on crime. That's the problem. Because police, as I said, continue to do their work, but it's a continuing in and outflow. But people are released on board, they are released on bail. There is plea bargaining that we apply, and there is this monthly meeting where we report on the figures. And in the monthly meeting development committee, report to the DGs, who report to the ministers. So in this structure, we take on the statistics of the department so that we jointly take responsibility to address the overcrowding within the criminal justice system. So all the initiatives address the problem of awaiting trial detainment. As part also of the review process, awaiting trial is also on this agenda to address that. So Chairperson, the question of do we really do enough? I don't think that we do enough. In terms of the debate that needs to continue around the overcrowding problem. The blockages in the criminal justice system and in effect if we are part of the class or not, and what are being discussed on this, the blockages of the criminal justice system that we refer to is that we really think as a department that the cases in court, there can be an improvement, because we found that some of the awaiting trial detainees are going in and out to court 112 times. There was one ECG where so far going in and out to court 112 times being demanded. So as a department we have said that really the criminal justice should focus on this. It's unnecessary for a person to go 100 times to court and there's not a result, there's not finality on the case. And we have forefront on that of 80 days, longer than 2 years that we have started the forefront. And some of the effects have showed violence and violence crimes coming to court. And we brought that to the attention of the Development Committee. Development Committee is responsible for the JCPS cluster department and their justice drive that process. Chairperson, yes, the 5 to 7 years and longer than 7 years, which is part of our presentation, that is around in fact. And we are not only reporting to the Development Committee on that, the Development Committee report goes to the ministers, so that the ministers can also take cognizance of the fact that we have people in the system serving longer than 5 years. We have tabled a report also every month, also this month, to give statistics and profile of people serving this long period. So for the ministers also to take note of that. In terms of the key solutions and the process to measure success, when it started, and it's intergovernmental, yes sir, it's intergovernmental, we are not reporting on our successes only, but the successes of the system that we are reporting to you. But the successes that we are referring to here is that we have measured over a monthly period. the government program of action has now given correctional services a 5% reduction of the population as an indicator for this year. So government is a proposal of action is measuring and we have to report monthly to development committee as I say, because we have to reduce the number to a 5% as an indicator. In terms of the government program of action. So this problem is receiving tension on the highest level of government. And I don't think the system follows us really. And we shouldn't also make from our side excuses for our challenges, but the proposal is that we can do more than that, and that's why the key solutions that we refer to. If we can do more to reduce the numbers of the overcrowding, and that debate needs to continue. The debate around managing overcrowding.
Okay. Is it true that well, first of all, you give the committee the impression that part of the reluctance to release possible inmates is because they don't have a jail. Isn't it also true that you don't have enough people to go and monitor? Is that not a problem? We've had a part of the problem. If you don't have people that, even if you had all the jails, you wouldn't have sufficient staff to go and do the checks. Is that a problem? You see, I'm asking that because I also don't like this argument, but this technology that Mr. Staff is talking about. If the department, government, can make use of technology, their address is limited. If you can check me electronically, why do you need a certain address? So, quite frankly, this department or this committee is no longer buying the argument about an address. And you need to take that back to the department and to the minister. We're not buying that argument. In this day and age of technology, we can't be arguing about doing things manually, and that is the reason for overcrowding. So, I don't think we need a response to that. I think we have to indicate that argument doesn't work. Because even if you had the addresses, it would not resolve the problem. I think it's just a response to that. And then the second issue that I want to raise, you know, first of all, you said the tracking system was not implemented because there was possible corruption in the tender. And therefore the tender was postponed. How all it was put on hold. That's what you said. You know, if I look at your annual report, this annual report that Mr. Staff was talking about that came out yesterday on page 52, it says personal tracking devices were not installed in child facilities due to poor procurement practices or process. Now, this is another example of Chinese misleader. You are saying that it was because of corruption. And I have no reason to disbelieve you. But a document that goes out to a million people says it was because of poor procurement process. Why doesn't somebody say we stopped it because there was corruption in the system? Because I read this thing last time, and I thought, well, maybe it was because there's only one or two people that really take this type of thing. But when you say there's corruption, then I want to know who did that corruption and what has happened. So, to say that it wasn't that because of corruption, I think the initiative was invited to what you what were the consequences of it? For the individual? Because the consequences is that we have an overcrowding here because the department has not been doing what it's supposed to do. And I'm agreeing with Mr. Chow. The department needs to take responsibility. And then as a next question, so before I ask another question, I'm surprised you never spoke about the remand detention session. Yeah, now. I mean, you've heard about this. Please tell me in easiest language. What do you guys mean when you say there's a program for remand detention facilities? And then I'll be asking, what do you mean then? Are you going to build something? Or what is it? Because When we ask you what are your possible solutions, you said there's 10 divine intentions, facilities in the pipeline. What are those things? You could not answer that question. What are you talking about?
Yes, so the 11 demand intentions. So we have identified 11 facilities to refurbish these facilities to meet a manual standard which we have developed. In terms of management framework, those facilities are the Boston Efficient Center, and Durban, Peter Maritzburg, Howard Fly, Potterstone, Boxburg, Moderately, China's person, Patricia. Those are the 11. Now, what the intention is to move the centers of offenders out of those facilities and spread it evenly into other centers where we have capacity. So that we have a facility only for remand detention offenders. And having then the remand detention facility, we can introduce them in the tracking. We can introduce the video arrangement where you have video collection with calls there. We have biometric fingerprints that we can identify, or photo images that you can identify this offender. Or you can establish calls in this environment facilities. So that's the one explanation. The other is that we have also identified the process of carrying to do a feasibility study. To look at best practices around the world and appoint them to somebody that is affected by it to do the feasibility study and look into ideal, like a one stop service session where you have the justice processes, you have police processes, like courts, you have only facilities in one facility. Also, for the transport of offenders, and everybody is under one umbrella. And the intention of the feasibility study then is. To look at what should be the requirement for this facility as a demand detention facility. What other countries are doing? And we have identified Western Cape and Gauteng and Eastern Cape for this study to look at areas where you can establish such kind of facility. So the department has to appoint a transactional advisor to do that. So the process has started with Treasury. To appoint the transaction side. So this body of consultants have clarified the department on that. So that's the reference to a demand detention.
Right. He indicated to the story, many of the committee meetings, that the thing we're talking about, that the pilot that they have, where you don't have to go out of the facility, you can be sentenced.
Yes, if I can explain. The video postponement project was piloted in the project. And it worked there, but the technology was then improved on and enhanced. And then they start piloting the same, the improved technology at St. Albans to link the different course of both in the system and in Brighton to St. Albans. So that project was successful, and St. Albans continued to function like that. Now, this equipment, video equipment, will then be rolled out to 21 other facilities. So eventually we will talk of 22 facilities. Particularly was like tested about 2 weeks back with installation of equipment. Everything is fine. That will also now be live transmitted between the court in Pretoria and Pretoria. And this project is led by Department of Justice, where we are also involved, to roll it out to all the other states that we have postponed the project. And so tonight is nice, but we don't have to like this, it's fine. The business is working, and we continue rolling out to the other sites eventually there will be 22 correctional centers around the country, which will be operational with the postmodern. When we don't have 50 of them to the court, but we're sitting inside the facility and being demanded from there.
Just now you said to us that actually individually and yourself have to appoint a transaction manager. And I was understanding that you were saying that that transaction manager was being zone technically the village that we've been talking about. You're now saying it's licensed there and it's licensed in others. My question to you is, unless I listen to you, just now when you talk about the transaction manager, what are you hoping him or her to do for that organization?
Yeah, now that the transaction advisor will be official validation to build new facilities, to build a complete facility, where there are different services around it, the building now, what should be in the building, design, construction, test of feasibility, etc. Because in terms of the PFMA, all major projects of government, they should be official validation. That's what the building and construction of facilities specifically designed for demand within the zoning. So that's the
point. Right, that was the second question. So you invented 10 new facilities for demand. And you just thought the difficulty that I'm having about this is Kimberley has been postponed and postponed and postponed for all sorts of reasons. You are planning 40%. We are 140% over thousand. If it took us another 5 years to build those facilities, are we supposed to live for the next 5 years of this chronic overcrowding? That's why I asked the question. I don't get a sense that I'm talking for the department, for the committee. We don't get a sense that you guys are serious about dealing with overcrowding. We really don't get a sense that you are serious about dealing with overcrowding. Chris Tom said to me that, we 49,000 warm bodies overcrowded. The magic curve figure for facilities seems to be 3,000. If we must deal with that 49,000, it means we must build 60 more prisons. Just to house those overcrowded people. 16 more prisons with 3,000 beds will deal with that. At 30 grand a shot. So, our difficulty is that we don't think it's urgent, we don't think you've got the right idea. We think that many, many more things can be done, like the electronic version. Like the fact that 6 months for 4,000 people, you still need to ask me, what? Why are you sending somebody for 6 months? Other than stealing a loaf of bread. Other than stealing a loaf of bread, you detain him for 6 months, yet you're talking about chronic overcrowding. So these are the frustrations I think we have. The one hand you are saying, when I say you, we understand the criminal justice system, but I think we're also moving away from corrections, arguing that it's no longer our responsibility. We're looking at here the classroom. If the judges are doing something that is impacting on you, the owners of the need to go and tell the judges that they're doing something. If the police are doing something that is impacting on you, I think the owners of the need to go and tell the police what you're doing, I think it's impacting on us, or you need to adjust what you are doing. So, quite frankly, I'm going to now make a final statement after this, but quite frankly, from where I'm sitting, overcrowding is a matter that we don't think you see it on the basis of the report that we've received. Now, there's nothing that concerns me yet that you guys are serious. When I say you guys, I think the department is serious about the strategies that you are implementing. Or not in terms of dealing with 49,000 overcrowded people. And it's even more frightening when you say to us that your target is to move to 140,000 overcrowded. 143, if you reach the noble cows in cows of 140,000, you'll be happy because you have done something. You have achieved something, according to what you said earlier about that. I don't know that that is what we expect as far as quite a South African society. I don't know if that's what we expect. But if you start with Mosandaka and go all the way through, from below the way through, for members to raise an observation to assist the department to allow us to help us do the correcting as opposed to criticizing for criticizing. Mosandaka, we'll start with you today. Do you want to comment? You know, in those instances, you go to the lake. But listen, that is, are you happy? You fine?
Thank you, Jefferson. Well, I think you covered on a lot of issues that I've written down here, but I wonder if the department responds to the question of the magistrates are part and parcel of the class committee. I would like to know what are their positive response to this awaiting crisis to me that are overcrowded in corruption. And also, we would like the department to identify in which areas do we have magistrates that are not cooperative and responding positively to these burning issues, because this is a branch issue, because we see this with people who are first-time offenders, who come out of corrections, being gangsters, being drug sellers, who came out being gangsters, living gangs, because they were forced. They were in an environment where they were forced to join gangsters in prison. The other thing that I want also the department to look at is to give us time frame of when are we going to see the results of facilities that are going to give us a relief of the first time awaiting transit trainees that are separated from the habitual ones. I would really like a progress report on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Captain. I'm afraid I see here they're going to build a new correctional center. I'm with this committee for 5 years. We were told that 5 prisons are going to be built. One was Niger, Kimberley, Norfolk. I can't remember the other two. Thank you. Point if you can tell me if all these prisons are already finished, now we are staying here, correctional centers that are both cost effectively rehabilitation and orientated. Which one? Are you talking about the new, adding more from that side, or the new one? And my concern is whenever correctional centers is here to present whatever. They only name Johannesburg, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth. These other provinces, they don't have a correctional center. Do you only want to improve only these people, this network? The other ones, you just don't care about it. It's a real concern because I'm from Mpumalanga to start with. The prisoner I visit always, they are leaking there. There's no facilities at all. But wherever the correctional center is coming here, they talk of transfer. Cape Town. It's a concern, Chairperson. Thank
you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, listening to members, I'm beginning to wonder. Because members are making statements that they are here for 15 years, some of them 5. It seems as if this problem of we overcrowding is not yesterday's problem. And it's a crisis. And I think also, you know, as a department, I think this thing of, I'm looking at the slide here, this on page 28, that says also, that speak about the bail. the 75% don't have faith. Now, it's not clear what kind of faith they don't have, therefore no direction motion. So, it's a worrying also to see offenders don't have faith. Maybe the thing is the faith that is less than 500 grand or 200 grand. It's also a cause of our problems. I really don't know, church. This is a crisis, really, for us. That is, us with the department, you must see, or I don't know, with the community itself, we must see how do we deal with this over problem. Thanks, Chair. That is the crisis.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm hoping that the department will answer the question that I put about the vacancies in CMT. The frustration I think that has come out of this is not so much that people are, that the department isn't aware of the causes of the problem. I think they are aware of the causes of the problem, and in some cases the causes lie with the department, in some cases they lie with the broader criminal justice system. But what concerns me is the fact that the aspects over which the department itself has control don't seem to be enjoying enough priority. And it does concern me the reply to the question about the electronic tracking devices. I know about the inmate tracking devices and the problems that we experienced there. But the electronic tracking system has now been talked about for at least 5 years. And the problem that it had to be applicable all over South Africa so that there wasn't discrimination against some people who were released and other people who couldn't be released. It's been talked about for a long time, but it hasn't yet been implemented, and it doesn't seem from the reply that we are much further down the track. So the frustration that I feel is that the resources and the management will are not behind the things that I think could impact very decisively on lowering the rate of overcrowding in the correctional centre, and that we may very well be now going to the option, as my colleague said, of building prisons, new generation prisons, where in fact they're much more cost effective mechanisms that we can bring to bear in terms of reducing the prison population in a responsible way if we were innovative and if we managed the things that are going to make it possible for us to release people responsible. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Abraham? Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think what is important is that we must get out of the mold in which we find many sections of the civil service. That is to trot along on a day-to-day basis at the end of the month, we get our pay and then we carry on again and carry on again. We need to take some very bold steps. There must be innovative thinking. We need to ask ourselves that those resources that we have at the moment, in what way can we employ them to get maximum benefits out of them so that those benefits can translate into a better life for all of us, including those people that are the inmates for whatever reason that they find themselves there. So, Chairperson, in a nutshell, we need to be forward-looking. We need to come with bold plans. And we need to say to ourselves that these are the things that are possible, and these are the things that for which we need greater intervention. That intervention is always required, but you also need intervention in terms of finances, resources, etc., etc. But unless we have that kind of bold initiative, we will not get where we want to get. Furthermore, Chair, there's always this notion, let's build an extra facility, let's create extra this and let's create extra that. But we don't look at which way can we update what we have and try and make maximum use out of that which we have. Of course, other members have referred to the criminal justice system in general, but those stoppages that take place there, we need to get them addressed. And we need to have a bold plan to remove those stoppages so that the population, especially the ACD population, is substantially reduced. I take note that the levels of crime are still high, and therefore what goes out sort of springs back again in another form, another lot of people come back, and that you seem to be remaining constant. This also means that you folks that work with these people on a daily basis, that understand the safety of the people that are under your care, should actually come forward also with ideas and plans as to how broad society, and I see some civil society members also here attending this portfolio committee meeting, it shows that civil society is equally concerned. And we need to bring all these forces together. The chairperson welcomed the civil society members that were upstairs at the moment, a little while ago. We need to bring all forces together. We need to make the centers that you have accessible to broader society. So that on the one hand, people can see that these are not the places to come to, so let us not do crime. On the other hand, for civil society to see ways and devise ways and means to partner with your department to be able to help find solutions. I feel clear that we need to move in such directions. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. We met all these tough you name them, not more to God, all these nice names, but still there is no progress. What I would like to know before I come up with my suggestion, in bullet point number 4 in page 25 under overcrowding, it is written as overcrowding identified as corporate risk number 2 and progress monitored by this management committee. What I would like to know, did this risk management committee is another body? If so, I was going to propose the person that we need with this body, it is another body, except these tasks that I was mentioning here. We need this body, the minister, and this committee. We meet with that risk management, and then we take it from there. You know, this is a terrible disaster. We are here on behalf of the community. The community, if they can hear this, that we've been talking with this for 15 years, take it from me, they can recall us, because we don't know what we are doing. So we must try to centralize the department. Also, that is what I'm proposing. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Dalmas, and the department director is trying to cover these things. But just before you do that, the video, you know, your video facility that you were talking about. Did you say there were 12 or how many are there? There are 22 that are in effect. 22, no, so how many are in effect now? Let's see. 22 are going to be infected. When did they have? 42 then. Okay, I'm asking that question because again your annual report that was published this morning. It says installation of radio postponement equipment in the government facility. The project has been delayed due to the identification of appropriation in time. I mean, I don't understand, but it sounds to me that those delays because we couldn't identify appropriate sites to put the thing. That's what we're aiming for. And that is why I'm saying the department, we feel that there are things that you could do that you are not doing that is actually making a difference to the situation.
If,
and this is in the annual report, if the delay of this 22 sites up to June is because we can't identify sites, then we have a problem. Because we're saying all over South Africa, this thing must eventually be in existence. Now, why would the department take a whole year to identify appropriate sites? I'm saying if your annual report is correct. This isn't your annual report. I think the point that I'm making is that when you go back to the department, you need to warn the department. This thing was signed, this annual report of yours was signed in May, 31st of May this year. This annual report. We want you to relay a message to the department that when they embark on preparing the annual report, that they must be able to defend it, because members of this committee will be there. Just putting stories in this report because it's filling pages is no longer. In other words, we need for compliance that it's not going to work in this committee anymore. When you see this report, it must be defended. I think that's one of the messages we must send across, because this is one of the tools we use and one of the tools that society needs out there. And if it needs a postponement because the department is not identified, then we've got to make the problem with the department and its culture of work. 5 years for electronic monitoring. I don't know how many years for building fire systems that have gone to the question that Honorable Nyanda asked. We now been told that next year, December, we will know about these facilities where you can do video. This is no urgency in this department. There is just no urgency in this department. And correctly so, the doctor said, we certainly can't go back to the community and say 50 years down the line there's been no delivery and we've been members of power. There's nothing to happen from outside. We have a serious check for those things. So we understand the sentiment of this part. We can afford it on the finish if there are any issues, right, as far as the closing meeting. But the message from us is very clear. It's very clear. Thank you. Now, both of you are in the office. You have an opportunity just to wrap up as our guest. I mean, as our visitors will come wrap up and we'll close the meeting after that.
Yes, I think, yes. We will convey the serious message that the committee and yourself share with us to the department to take note of that and put measures in place to manage the urgency around that. Chairperson, also allow me to say the annual report covers the period 1st to 8th of last year till 31st of March this year. So when I report about the 22, I report on the latest development since 1st of April now. And there is a plan, and that's why I can say we work with June. Sites have been identified, the whole lot is in place. Procuring last week, as I said. So there's a plan that I can present and say this is the plan for the video arrangement and just to drive this project. And they are also paying the funding for it. So funding has been confirmed, plan has been confirmed, and they're all on hand as given. So that I can give as the latest on this because I'm serving on that team of the video demand. The Chairperson, the corruption that I referred to and the work that we have used for procurement processes, the information to my disposal is that there was a third vendor that did not qualify in terms of the specifications to be considered when the bid was presented. And I refer to that as corruption, because why in the first place was there a bidder in the simply commended bid that was not supposed to be there? If the department used other words, that was the fact of the matter. Because I'm also sitting in that process of the inmate tracking. And that was reported in that committee, that there was a third person that was not supposed to be there for consideration in the CETA process. Chairperson, yes, in the seriousness of the grace system, the support systems, we will take that to the department, and the seriousness around electronic monitoring, there is no excuse for having a monitor for a grace if you have electronic monitoring, because you can then track a person wherever that particular person is in the country. And we will also then share the frustrations of the committee, the around the figures that we have presented to you, the 6 months, and why are these 6 months cases still in our facilities, and it's a class issue. Even though we are tracing it there, we can rigorously look at how to reduce the numbers if there's a minor case that's been in the facilities within the justice processes. The question of the magistrates being part of the structures, magistrates are not sitting in the JCP structures, they are being represented either by justice or the NPA. But as their principles, they have to take what is the JCP structures, they back to the magistrates to take note of the problem areas within the system. So we will again take this problem to the JCPS cluster, so that magistrates can take cognizance of the fact that they are sentenced people, first even first offenders, to prison, while they can look at alternatives and not creating an environment for habitual criminals in the facilities. The concern about the building of the facilities, the Leocorp, Nigel, Clastop, that's been put on hold. I was informed by the minister because of the TPP, and she still needs to look into why she will go that route and not other alternative routes. Because it's quite also, as reported in newspapers, an interest for government to know exactly how they will spend our money for, in terms of value for money. So the minister wants to finalize that, and they take a decision on that. But as far as I know, up to 10 years since, all the documents were completed and finalized. The minister put that final way, the awarding of the tender has to be considered, that's being on up. So the documents are there, ready for evaluation. The minister wants to ensure that it's ready for money to continue with that project. So, sir, that is the device in the new facilities. We talk of climate enforcement and Mpuma Lamba, when we look at statistics, that region, because we have clustered the department into Mpuma Lamba, Northern Province, and then goes west into one region. And when you look at statistics, crime rates are low, the average population are low in that area. And it's quite an area that's not really struggling with the figures of overcrowding, like the Gauteng and the Western Cape, Eastern Cape and Cape in region. That's a fact in terms of the statistics that we have presented. But we should take note of that. And one of the facilities is it will be built in Clarkstop. One of the ones that's been on house. Will be built in Clarkstop. And Clarkstop is in that particular region of Yellow and Three Quarters. Mpumalanga is part of that. The 75% with no bail, the crisis around that, we can deal with the other 25%, where you have bail catches with from less than 500 rand to more than 2,500 rand. It is in that category. So as we try to release offenders. But the 75, that a consideration by a magistrate when this person appeared in court and not to grant bail for that particular individual. It's a process that we have to, as the Honourable Member said, we need to bring that to the attention of magistrates in the different structures to grant bail for more of these people so that there is an opportunity to release them. The presentation was called to the CFC and give you feedback as well. But you have said we can do more in terms of things that we have control over, like the inmate track, and this will be taken back to the department because we are talking there a long time to finalize these matters. And we have to also address the stoppages and to reduce the levels and take that serious in terms of the social responsibility of all of us. We will definitely bring that to the attention of the department. The different task teams, the ROTS and the NOTS, as well as the Risk Management Committee, which is also another body that's looking in terms of the overcrowding. The responsibility of the NOTS and the ROTS is to operationalize the facilities and see to the implementation. The work of the Risk Management Committee is to monitor what these people are doing and then to take decisions for intervention if there's not sufficient things that happen on charge together. So that's the purpose of Risk Management, to monitor that we really implement the strategies of the department and report back. So this committee, certainly that office is being led currently by the Acting Commissioner to see to a chief center from this committee, to see to it that we manage the different risks of the department. Yes, we will, the annual report and the things that we are saying in that report is that we need to defend that, it must be accurate and correct, so that we take on the responsibility for that. We will also take this message back to the department. Mr. Mutetu will respond to this issue.
Chairperson, thank you so much once more for the opportunity to respond to some of the issues. I should, Chairperson, your permission, add to what Mr. Damon has been saying. Overcrowding, it is really a concern for us as a department. And I need to also add by saying that it is a serious matter and a crisis for us. It's not really correct to suggest that the department is not serious. We are serious, and it's a pity again, we can't, perhaps due to time factor, which we do not really have, we don't have time, try and explain to you the details, operational, what it is that we are doing as a department. We are doing a lot, and I wish really, as it was suggested, such a thing here, that the committee would like to meet these committees. For us, really, that would be great. We would appreciate that, so that we begin to share with you exactly what it is that we do. Because we can't, as a department, suggest to agree that the situation is not. We can't. We are really sharing the same sentiment with the committee, because we understand our mandate. We understand, you know, the Act, which is 108. That is our constitution. Specifically, Section 35, subsection 2E, that is really saying that we will have to detain the offenders in a humane, you know, condition. That is a fact. That can really not be supplemented by any. So there are a lot of really strategies that we are trying to put in place. It might be a matter of, you know, time to explain. It might be a matter of perhaps the warehousing of being set, you know, presentation, because presentation is just a snapshot of what is taking place, but not everything. We do have a lot of information that showcases exactly what it is that we do. Mr. Damu explained the issue of the NOT, which perhaps is, the committee really is not convinced to say what it is that is happening there. It might be a confusing factor. The issue of overcrowding for 15 years, of course, if you look at it from that angle, it is confusing. What is the department doing after so many years? But the fact of the matter really is we are doing a lot. But the number of people that are coming into our system is amazing. If you go into our system,
We do have a system, MIS, which is a management information system. We do have ANR that is currently being run in my portfolio that I'm running at this point in time, the Director of Collection Administration. You know, that is your ANR, Admission and Registration. You will find that a lot of people here are going, they are being the steps that has been shared with the committee, etc., to suggest that people are living. And previous, a few months ago, the former Deputy Minister of Justice introduced, you know, as a leader there, he was leading, and that was a mandate from the parliament, from the cabinet, to say, go and introduce what is called system. We introduced the system, which was led by itself, and a lot of really offenders were taken out of it, specifically in your ACD. But let me be honest with you now that as much as we manage to place those out of the system, those who qualify, but a great number of those are getting came, new people, came in. And then really, it's correct to suggest something might be wrong that we have to fix. That is what we are accepting. And we are also accepting, in terms of the white paper and corrections that we have, chapter 3 in particular, that the chairperson alluded to while the community was out up there, to say it's not really only TCS that has to do something, but the community out there, it's really a joint venture. If we are, as you know, the country, all fighting for this, making sure that each and every part, the EDC department, I'm talking about all the departments in South Africa, the community is doing its part, definitely will make sure that we go down with the overcome. And rightfully so now, we're so privileged, some of us, including myself, attending the UN Congress in preparation for our next year in Brazil. I was in Kenya, we realized that the same kind of challenges that are being faced by South Africa is well in our area. And we're sharing some good practices. Let me to add, what is extra that the department is doing as means of trying really to care for this overcrowding, which is really unacceptable. We are meeting with those, we are coming, like next week will be, you know, submitting a report back from the Congress that we're in. Some new ideas, but the ideas that we have, really, we can have an opportunity, sharing with the community, really, that must be great. Zooming into the issues that have been raised, I was just really highlighting and alluding to the issues that the committee is very serious about, that yes, as much as the committee is very well serious, it's a pity that we need to be sharing more things that we are doing. But very, very importantly too, the number that is coming in, it's amazing. I think it's because of the number of issues, you know, crime rate one can talk about, SAPS, crime path initiatives, because we can't really stop SAPS from bringing people in, because they might be reason, they might be money from their superiors to say, go and, you know, get people in. And then at the very same time, we are at the receiving and we can't say no. We have to make sure that whatever minimum resources we have to take care of these people. And thanks to the demand, which is the management of our infrastructure service, the branch that has been established by the mandate of the cabinet to say we need to come up with it. That will assist us. Because there was a question you got raised here. What it is that these RDF, which is your remand detainee facilities, will do? Obviously, they will definitely alleviate a lot of, you know, damage from us. To make an example of this, rightfully so now, we are having a total of about 163,000 inmates within our system, both unsentenced and sentenced. Plus minus 40,000 staff that we have. In these 40,000, I'm talking about all levels. So now, it is very clear that that 40 might be equal to your 115,000 sentence offenders. As such, your awaiting trial really might not have people. But the other, you know, issue is happening here. The staff that is supposed to be taking care of the sentence is now taking care of your awaiting trial. And the awaiting trial really, to be honest, by virtue of their status being in our system, you can't trust them. Therefore, they might, they should be, regarded as maximum. So, when you will have one officer, I'm talking about race, one officer, eight of them, you can't for awaiting rights, because you don't know them. the mindful monitoring is the essential one. So you take yourself inside and try to push and supplement the other stuff. Now going to the CMC, as it has been asked, to say why there are these blockages. Of course, one of them is the monitorable addresses. That's the fact. Why monitorable address? It has been passed in the space. What is the problem? The problem that we are faced with operationally down there, having an opportunity of seeing our behavior depends on something, I realize it depends on that. A person is being brought into your system with an address that is not existing. Coupled with that, most of the people that are brought into our system, they don't have IDs. So you can't really locate this person.
That's the system. We don't have to go to that one because you lose that. You lose that happiness process. I think what the South system was the latency. There are 12,000 cases that are in the system.
Yes.
Where they should already have been released because they serve the minimum required time.
Yes.
They are not released because the department has not processed. The department has not processed it because the department has vacancies. So the South system is not anything about it. We talk about 12,000, 22,000 people could go tomorrow if the department had it to get it. And the question is the staff is asking about.
Thanks for that. I am really going there. That is why I wanted to start the process. One of the reasons why these people are still there is the monetary address the person and support system. Because we don't know where they stay, therefore you can't really if you happen to get them, they say, no, we can't take care of it. We do have examples wherein some of them, like 2 months ago, I've been told, saying that an offender who is outside, saying that I want to come back because my parents can't take care of me. I want to come back. So they were brought back in Johannesburg, specifically in Lugo Community Corrections. They told me then to say they are doing this. So we do have a number of those that are in process. Talking about the shortage of staff, I'm talking about the shortage of staff in the center. They have to give programs. In terms of our criteria for placing people out, by the chairperson recommending, a person should have undergone some certain programs, should have attended some certain programs. Programs that I'm talking about, programs for aggressive crime offenders, as well as sexual, they have to undergo those, because if you need them, they will come back. So we are running short of it. Staff to address those, and staff that is down with some of your social worker, your psychology. However, what the department is doing, we are doing something. What you have done rightfully so now, the department has established a branch within the department, which is called correctional programs. You have your development and care that you use with your therapeutic programs. Then you've got another one now that you use with your non-therapeutic programs. And then there, we are putting in the staff, which we call them correctional intervention officials. Those will supplement the shortage of skills that we have. So it will be also your auxiliary social workers and auxiliary nurses. So that at least they deal with some of the issues. And then if there will be a need for therapeutic programs, then we then utilize our minimum resource in terms of your social workers and psychologists. We are having that kind of a component. So those are really the problems why this kind of a number. We are afraid to let them out because they have not yet completed the programs as I've already indicated. But however, what we are doing, we have put in place a structure that is dealing with it. And then the CMC structure, which the minister is dealing with now, at any given time, there will be an approved structure for the CMC. Why there was no approved structure during that time, people were put there, as an interim. So this interim, the person would not really take all the accountability. And when the opportunities arise, a person can go and apply for others because he is not really permanent on this one. But that night has really received the agent attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the department. Nothing personal. The deputy secretary, but you know, the progressively more difficult of the department, so Mr. Down, who has his own life, his own life, I am not promising, has managed the difficulty. And just on the request made by Mr. Daka and supported by yourself, I do think that the earliest possible date I think we should support for public hearings on HCGs and the waiting charges. I think we support. So that the public must tell us what they think. You then can bring your lots and your bots and all those other things you're talking about. They can also come and tell us what they think around this matter, because for us it has to be resolved. One way or the other, we have to get away, because it's the second year in a row that we have to tell you. It's at least the second report that the Auditor General has reported that you are not complying with that. That's not overcrowding. We pay you to comply with the Act on the overcrowding. And between all of us, we need to make sure that that doesn't appear in the next Auditor General's report. So we will call for public hearings as early as convenient for you with your project opportunity to tell us what you're trying and hear from the public. On that note, thank you very much to the department, to the members also, thank you very much. We meet again next week Tuesday. And then Tuesday we appear in the SIU, and Wednesday we meet the PCP, two very important meetings. So we're hoping that we have one prepared so that it's constructive, but two make sure that we have for those meetings. Please be seated there, that is what I probably should be ready to get maybe Tuesday and to the department once again. Thank you very much. Pass our good wishes and our frustration to the department. All right.